We're talking today about migraines. It's Women's Health Month. Nearly 80% of migraine disease sufferers are women. We have with us today Jill Dielen, who is the board member of the National Headache Foundation, chairperson of the NHF's Patient Leadership Council, here to talk about a new survey as well. But Jill, I understand you are a migraine sufferer, correct?
In about 2006, I started experiencing a migraine attack every single day. I'm under much better control now, I'm happy to say.
When it was first happening, what did you think was going on?
Well, I'm also a registered nurse, and I have had family members who have had migraines, so I was pretty certain of the diagnosis. Migraine is a hereditary disease, and it's in our DNA, and it's there.
Tell me a little bit about, I guess, what people who are going through that have to deal with on it when it happens, and they're doing things. Explain a little bit of that, if you could.
Sure. The symptoms for a migraine attack vary between people, and even like the same person may have a different symptom for different attacks. So it's sort of on a spectrum, and each person can have different symptoms. So for me personally, before I have a migraine attack, that phase is called the prodrome phase, and I may have irritability, I may have food cravings, and then during the attack phase, I may have intense pain on one side of my head. It's usually throbbing in nature. Sometimes it feels like hot acid is being poured into my brain. I'm unable to read. I'm unable to think. I'm unable to speak. And most of the time I spend in bed with earplugs and an eye mask over my face because light and sound can be excruciating. And then after the migraine is gone, which can be 4 hours to 3 days, we have a period called the migraine hangover or the post-drome. And if you've ever had a hangover before, you know that it's not fun.
Jill, do doctors know what brings them on?
The research for migraine disease is still ongoing. It's theorized that an increase in a peptide called calcitonin gene-related peptide is responsible for the increase in migraine attacks, but research is still ongoing.
Talk a little bit about this survey that you conducted. What did you find out? What things can you share with us about the people you were surveying?
Well, we surveyed nearly 1,200 people with migraine, and most of those people were on a preventive. And migraine had a broad negative impact on people's lives, as you can imagine, affecting their energy level, their mental clarity, their productivity at work, home, and school, their personal relationships, and their professional success. Nearly two-thirds of the people in our study said that migraine disease makes them feel as though life is passing them by. It really is an invisible disease because most of the time when people are experiencing an attack, they are sequestered in a quiet, dark place. More than half of the people in our study said that they feel as though they cannot make plans with friends, family, or colleagues because this disease is so unpredictable.
What then, I guess, is their treatment? What do they need to know? I guess, is it just being educated? Is it finding the right doctors, the treatment? Tell me a little bit about that process.
Sure. So when people have headaches, they don't always assume that it's a migraine. And so if people are having four or more headaches a month, they should keep a diary of the number of headache days that they are experiencing and talk to their healthcare provider about these headaches. And they should also make sure to note the type of head pain, if it's one-sided, if it's throbbing, how long the headache lasts, what they do to treat it. There's also something called a medication overuse headache. So people who are popping a lot of over-the-counter medications like ibuprofen or acetaminophen can find that they get a rebound kind of impact from those medications, and they actually increase increases the number of headaches that they have per month. So keep track of your headache days and talk to your healthcare provider. I like to advise people that they can do better managing their migraines by using a preventive medication every day. So the people who have migraine in our study felt as though they couldn't control their migraine because not all the preventive treatments work real great. But science is working on that, and we are hoping for better treatments. But the majority of the people in our study found that they wish there was a better treatment option because they just want fewer migraine days per month. More than two-thirds of the people in our study with migraine who have tried or are currently taking a preventive feel as though they're chasing an unreachable goal. It's really a roller coaster of feeling hopeful about preventive treatments and then feeling disappointed when the treatment doesn't work or the side effects from the treatment are intolerable.
We're talking with Jill Dielen, who is a board member of the National Headache Foundation. What does the National Headache Foundation then do as sort of be an advocate to help with research? Explain that to me.
All of those. The National Headache Foundation is the oldest patient advocacy group in the country for people with migraine and headache diseases. It was started by Seymour Diamond 51 years ago. Our website is headaches.org. It's real easy. You can find reliable and valid information on our website. In addition, if your listeners would like to participate in a Facebook Live presentation, we will be doing something on Facebook through the National Headache Foundation on Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern. And I will be speaking with my friend Jamie Sanders, who is also a person with migraine and a migraine advocate.
Well, it sounds like there's a lot of support out there for people who are dealing with this. I understand also people of color and different ethnicities maybe aren't getting the treatment or have the education knowledge of what they need to do.
Well, unfortunately, there are educational gaps for all of us, but these gaps are far more pronounced in people of color. So we in the migraine community have a long way to go to educate people, primarily about what migraine is and that it's a disease that can be progressive. Once you have a migraine attack, that disease is always with you, and it can be progressive if it's not managed appropriately. So I would urge your listeners, if they are experiencing four or more headache or migraine days per month, to talk to their physicians about possibly getting on a preventive. There are new preventives that are coming out there, and they are much more effective. They're created specifically for people with migraine, whereas the old preventives were created for other disease states. So there really is reason for a lot of hope in migraine.
Jill Dielen joining us again from the National Headache Foundation. We appreciate your time. Again, if people want to find out more, where is a good place for them to get the information?
Headaches.org.